With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The Oneida County District Attorney determines a police shooting in Lake Tomahawk was justified. On June 17th, 76-year-old John Carga died in the confrontation with law enforcement. Deputies had arrived at 5620 Lumen Lake Drive to arrest Carga for charges including first-degree sexual assault of a child. Investigative reports showed when Carga was told he was to be arrested, he started to retreat into the residence. Deputies managed to get him outside and a struggle began. Carga was seen to be holding a gun in his right hand and was repeatedly told to drop it. When that gun was fired, a deputy shot Carga. Oneida County District Attorney Jillian Pfeiffer noted Carga's continued refusal to comply with law enforcement's commands and decision to discharge his firearm when she determined the deputy was justified in the use of lethal force. A Tigerton man died and four other people got hurt in a weekend crash in Langlade County. Saturday afternoon at 5:21, a call came in to the Langlade County Dispatch Center about a three-vehicle crash. It happened at the intersection of U.S. 45 and County Road B in the town of Upham. A 61-year-old man from Tigerton was dead at the scene. Four other people were taken to local hospitals for treatment. The crash remains under investigation. Roughly 19% of children and teens under 18 in Vilas County are considered food insecure. That means those kids don't always know where their next meal is coming from. Feed Our Rural Kids, or FORK, works to support those children within the Northland Pines, Three Lakes, and Phelps school districts. FORK President Perry Pokrant says family budgets are being squeezed right now by rising costs.
We see a growing number of families looking for just a little bit of a helping hand. And so it's harder for those who want to donate because of the uncertainty, and yet there's more demand.
FORK's Cash for Kids fundraiser is ongoing through the month of August. It's the nonprofit's largest fundraiser of the year. This year, they're aiming to raise $30,000. The fundraiser is a collaborative effort of all the Eagle River financial institutions, as well as Forward Bank in St. Germain and Three Lakes. People can donate in person at any of the banks or credit unions.
If you knew that a specific child who lived next door to you was hungry, wouldn't you give? Wouldn't you buy them some food to eat? All right. So the answer to that is almost always yes. But the reality is there are kids next door. You just don't know it. So we're hoping that people will do what they can.
Tied to the Cash for Kids fundraiser is the Pirates for Kids event at Pirates Hideaway on August 18th. Proceeds from the pirate ship cruise that evening will go to FORK. A portion of food and drink sales will also go to the organization. You can find more details about the event and Cash for Kids fundraiser at WXPR.org. Just look for this article. New roundabouts under construction on the edge of Rhinelander are starting to look the part. Work has been underway all summer on the stretch of Highway 8 between Highway 17 and County Highway G. In addition to replacing the pavement, roundabouts are going in at the intersections with Highway 17 and County Highway G. Previously, those intersections had stoplights. Pictures released by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation show the recognizable shape of a roundabout at the Highway G intersection. There's still plenty of work to do, with the project scheduled to be completed in late September. Traffic is being detoured through Rhinelander while the work is being done. As Wisconsinites prepare to head to the polls for the high-stakes August primaries, sustainable farmers are putting the state's most urgent farm and rural issues front and center, Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
They say federal policies have contributed to an economic downturn, but East Troy farmer Jim Studi believes state programs can help strengthen farms. He supports increased investment in conservation efforts, such as producer-led watershed groups, which he says can multiply the impact of state funding. Studi notes the state program supporting these groups incentivizes practices that benefit farms, natural resources, and the local economy.
This program is wildly successful, and we have a lot of groups, and the funding level has remained constant, so we have more groups chasing the same amount of money, and the result is less money to each group. So we really need to see an increase in funding.
Studi says farmers are under pressure to conserve farmland while maintaining productivity to meet demand, and as growers growers are currently facing a drought, he says it's never been more important to ensure soil can withstand the assault from severe weather. The upfront costs and sometimes lengthy return on investment can deter farmers from adopting sustainable practices. Studi says making conservation practices financially viable through incentives like cost share programs and crop insurance rebates is the most effective way to encourage it.
If it becomes a business decision to adopt conservation and we're going to make money doing it, farmers are going to do it. And that's what we need to focus on.
Studi also stresses how high farmland prices make it difficult for new farmers to enter the industry, while many retiring farmers must sell their land to fund retirement. He says revamping Wisconsin's largely underfunded purchase of agricultural conservation easement program could help preservation efforts.
What that does is pays the farmer, in effect, the development value of the farmland. It's in a conservation easement, and it can't ever be developed, but the farmer's able to get some of their investment out of the farmland.
I'm Judith Ruiz Branch reporting.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.